Is the real estate roller coaster just beginning? The Keys to Riches financial philosophy and my special guest, real estate investment expert Robert Paolini, joins me on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals. And on today's episode, we're going to talk real estate investing, where the real estate market is. We're also going to talk about how your subconscious can sabotage you and what you can do to create a plan B instead, and some tips for real estate investment with my special guest, real estate expert Robert Paolini. Let's talk about what you need to know about self-sabotage, because this week's key is all about keeping ourselves in the right mindset. So last week we addressed take emotion out of the picture. This week it's our sixth key in the Keys to Riches financial philosophy, and that's hope for the best, plan for the worst. Now, the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. It also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt, save and invest, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do this one week at a time, one key at a time, on our Monday Facebook Live show. So it's critical that you visit us, like our show page at facebook.com/unlockyourwealthTV, and be sure to turn on notifications so you always know every time we do a new broadcast. And it's important because you can participate in the show, submit your questions, or come on live to ask me anything you want to know about the Keys to Riches, about personal finance, investing, or general success questions, because we have our goal achievement strategy workshop coming up. So we want to make sure that you have an opportunity to sign up for that as well and get enrolled and participate to help you achieve things using my biology-based approach to success. So this week's key, hope for the best, plan for the worst, is all about creating a plan B so our conscious mind can focus on our plan A. Many times we self-sabotage and we don't even know why we're doing what we're doing or how it happens. And if you visit the Facebook episode, you can also find it at unlockyourwealthtoday.com. And then you will find out how to apply this week's key. And if you inbox me on Facebook or on Instagram at Unlock Your Wealth, I'd be happy to send you this week's strategy for free. All you have to do is inbox me. It's that simple. Now, real estate is an interesting investment. We use it in part of our five areas of concern as one of our tools for asset multiplication. And so if you remember in our Keys to Riches in key four, knowledge is power, not knowing is powerful. In our five areas of concern, we have asset accumulation, asset multiplication, and then asset preservation. And we can do two things with real estate. We can multiply our assets and we can preserve our wealth also with real estate. But where are we? You know, we watch the Fed hold rates right now. So what does that mean for the real estate industry? You know, we keep hearing about things slowing. Are they really slowing? What kind of an impact is it going to have? And I'm really excited about today's guest because I have a real estate investment expert that's going to help you address those concerns. He is the author of the upcoming book, Good Talk, and he also has a 7LP strategy for helping folks get the most out of their properties. So let's jump in and start asking him some questions, shall we? Robert, welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today.
Thanks for having me.
So we had an interesting year last year as we closed out with our stock market. Give us a little bit of a picture of how 2018 settled up real estate-wise.
For us, it was fantastic. It was fabulous. It was trending up. We were getting busier the later the year got. It did squeeze a little bit, which you probably noticed this even in Arizona, towards the last couple months of the year. But by and large, everything has kicked off like clockwork this year as well. Although, and we might get into this later, there are some telling signs of the shift, which is inevitable and is coming. But so far, everything's good. And last year was great.
Yeah, you know, so the market always has ebbs and flows. And I know that we seem to be continually struggling here with an inventory issue as of late. And I was wondering, so in your local markets, which is Florida, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So in Florida, are you starting to see a shift? We don't have the data that I really love, which is my favorite number, which is affordability and median home price to median income. Because back in 2003, when I was watching the trend with all of these interesting outside of the box mortgages coming out back when I was doing mortgages, and I was watching, you know, median home price to median income get seriously unaffordable, I was able to call the market with in pretty accurate certainty. I said 3 to 5 years, we're going to see a massive shift in the banking industry is where I was kind of making my predictions. And sure enough, everything went sideways because of these particular mortgage products. Now they're all back again. And, you know, I can't check median home price until the 12th of this month where we have that data out. But we were at 4.0 where we started the year last year. And at 4.1 is when the housing crisis and the mortgage crisis started 11 years ago. So, you know, where are we today with regard to that kind of pressure in the marketplace?
Well, for Florida, we have a little bit of an advantage because we have some tax relief for a lot of professionals and homeowners here and investors. We have good coastal value for our properties as far as land ownership with the real property. So it does attract out-of-state buyers, which keeps Florida looking a whole lot better. But we're definitely shifting in what I call it the lag shift. It's almost like the top of the roller coaster before it starts to come down, so to speak. But it really this time will be based on supply and demand, which is good. As you probably know, the majority of the full-blown and severity of the collapse the first time in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009 was because of the looseness of the financial world. Now, if you're going to end up with an 800 Beacon score and you've got a great job that you've had for 15 years, you can become an investor and there's plenty of money to be had for that when the market does dip. So it'll still be a strong market. It just won't be for those first-time home buyers looking for this beautiful house with low interest rates and a white picket fence at fair market value.
Now, so you mentioned investors and first-time home buyers. So what is the mix like? Because when a lot of people think of Florida, we think of retirement and we think of spring training. Like, I know that's what they think about here in sunny Arizona is retirement and spring training. So, you know, what drives your market? Where is the body of your market? Are there people living and working still? Or what's your percentage breakdown?
Yes, and because we're more of the melting pot of other areas of the country, we still have our core single-family home strength between 200,000 and 400,000 is still strong. In fact, during a shift, we see more affluent-type size homes being sold just as much as the lower ones, and it squeezes the middle price almost like it would the entire economy. So you'll get just as much volume between 2 and 3 as you do between 5 and 6, but not as much between 350 and 450, if you get what I mean there. It's you either can barely afford it or you're not affected by the shift. So for single-family homes in those median price ranges, we're still a seller's market. And in higher-end, high-value condos, townhomes, waterfront properties, it's more neutral. The only ones that are really a buyer's market are things of, you know, low quality where a lot of work is needed. And it's kind of overpriced, and there's no sizzle for the geography of the property itself.
Mm-hmm. So a moment ago, you mentioned about the roller coaster and the ebbs and flows of the marketplace, and you said that we're kind of at the top. So what are some of the things that you're looking at indicators-wise, and are they leading indicators or lagging indicators that are giving you that vibe that we are at the top of the roller coaster peak at the moment?
They're more lead ones for me. I look at things like the stock market, the value of a dollar, the interest rates, all those things affect it even more than supply and demand, even more than, oh, the prices are just high. Because technically, at any given day, if the market is appreciating, it's always the highest. So you can't say, oh, it's the top of the market now. You got to look for the other telltale signs. The biggest one, I think, is in talking to all my lenders in my network about creative financing, getting ahead of the game. They're already aware of thousands and thousands of layoffs across the country for major mortgage companies. And if the big one, the big guns are doing that now, they know what's coming. So that's kind of the biggest red flag for me. But if you really add all the little elements together, you've got to connect the dots and see that we don't have much time.
So how does what's going on in the Fed? So we got a little stroke of luck. The stock market's been pretty receptive this past week of the Fed announcing that it's going to stay steady. Do you think that's going to impact it, or are these other indicators that you're looking at stronger indicators of the market turning?
I look more to long-term things done by the government, the Feds, and the dollar and the stocks, not so much a single event or a single report, because I feel like in the end, I perceive them to want to raise the interest rates, to pull liquidity out of the stocks, let that reset so it's under control, make some money off of bonds and the interest rate of money. And then that also allows, it's the best way to force liquidity back into the market as well. And they're going to want to do that if they're going to release their own holdings, you know, SwiftMud, Blackwater. I mean, they haven't even begun to hop into this new real estate market. And once that happens, it'll definitely be a buyer's market. It'll be way saturated across the country.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think the timing is of your prophecy?
I'm thinking, well, everybody, whether their ears to the ground like ours is, will notice. We notice now, but anybody else will probably notice, I would say, no later than the fall of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Fall of 2020, if I'm right, it'll already be happening. But it still will be good. I have investor clients that are waiting for the market to do that. They're not going to do a thing until. We might even make more money in the shorting of the market than we do now, because we won't be chasing the, you know, make me sells and, you know, first-time home buyers that are just trying, dabbling, or, you know, I'll go if I find the perfect house at the perfect price. You'll have less of those, and there'll be more of the pain around you and problems to solve, and those go to the bank, so to speak.
Great. Well, when we get back from the break, I want to talk about how do we change up the strategy knowing what's coming ahead. Stay tuned, because we have more real estate investment secrets with Robert Paolini here on Unlock Your Wealth Today, Your Life Fully Invested. We'll be right back with more after this. Welcome back to Unlock Your Wealth Today, Your Life Fully Invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals, and my special guest today is real estate investment expert Robert Paolini. Now, before the break, we were having an interesting conversation. I'd like to pick up and go from there. Let's talk about real estate investment tactics. So you're predicting this roller coaster, and we're at the peak. So you have a system in place that you use right now called the 7LP system, and that's how you help your buyers get top dollar for your property. But right now, if we're looking at a potential turn by fall of 2020, like you're predicting, then perhaps we need to be focusing also, or how do we split and balance this with getting the best bargain basement prices for our investors who are poised to go shopping with some of their cash and pick up some properties?
Yes, absolutely. Well, the 7LP system is 100% for either your average market or a neutral market or a seller's market. A lot of these strategies would have to be adjusted based on the demographics if that were not the case. But as far as investors go, some strategies that we're doing now And by the way, we call our clients at any given point now clients. It's even in the book. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we call them now clients is because we want to focus on the present. It's not the past or the future. It's in any shifting market, whether you're looking at past information or lead information of where you're going, what you're trying to find is who's the best person now, and then you'll know. You can basically backtrack and calculate who was the best person and who's the next best person. So being that we're coming out of a very healthy, growing, thriving real estate market in general across the country, obviously the next step is to go down to a buyer's market. And in my book, and I don't want to confuse people of explaining the exact way I figure it out, but let's just say, for lack of a better way of phrasing it, that the now client is still technically a buyer, a first-time home buyer, because if somebody, in my opinion, has to move within 3 years and can move within one, but would be detrimentally affected if they had to wait 5 to 10 years, then now they should be looking, because as interest rates drop, quality of the housing goes down, inventory goes up. You might be paying in the end of your mortgage the same price as you would in today's prices. And if you don't find something of good value and a good interest rate that you can afford, then you might be condemned to keep renting for another, 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. So it really comes down to the need of the client. It's really, what do you need? And then from there, we create like a little bit of a forecast, kind of crystal ball style on what they should do. But no market is for everybody.
Right. And every market is for somebody, though. And that's the way I look at it.
That's the caveat there. No market's for everybody, but every market is for somebody. I love that.
So as we're thinking about the market and where we are currently, what should potential investors be thinking? Because can I still make my properties cash flow with structured financing and leveraging myself appropriately? Or is this a time for me to maybe be liquidating some of my positions because prices are high and be in a hold situation and wait for the next downturn? What should I be doing as an investor?
If they want to liquidate to start over, let's say their margins now aren't as good as what they're expecting, then that would be a great time to sell off the inventory and start fresh. However, if there's a lot of equity already in those properties and they don't need the capital, absolutely, you can still buy and hold or keep and hold and maintain that rental strength all the way through. In fact, it should keep increasing in value, because especially in Florida with the Airbnb and so many other little rental programs, and half of them are DIY, and they get top dollar just based on technology built around that part of real estate, they could definitely keep it and hold and still rent.
So you just brought up something interesting, and I don't want to chase too far down the rabbit hole with this particular squirrel, but how has the municipalities and the governing bodies handled Airbnb with rental taxation? Is that becoming a factor in how you have to calculate your profits? Are those properties being taxed differently? Is legislation being passed there? Are you having challenges with that at all?
No, nothing is overly charged, overly taxed that is hurting that industry. In fact, it's huge. I had a client of mine that we had a winning bid on a FHA HUD website, and he went in there all by himself. Literally, we bought it from HUD, and then in probably 4 to 5 weeks, he went in there by himself, did a rehab, and had contracts from Airbnb, and this was in November of last year until March of this year, already booked. And he didn't even have it was his first time he's ever invested, and he just kind of fell into just money for the next 6 months. And by now, we might even be booked up until October. So if there are extra fees or based on how much profit you would make at the end of the year, it is a small trade-off for some of the other benefits, for sure, because it's higher dollar per day.
Well, yeah, you know, and it was really, really interesting because, you know, because it's become such a part of our culture now, you know, it's not just about, hey, I can rent out my extra bedroom for a few extra dollars. You know, investors have really started jumping on this. But, you know, one of the horrible things about finding a new area to make money in and a new income vertical for profit is that there's the government right there with their talons out, ready to start picking at your profits. And so it cuts margins. And I know here in Arizona, we've got all kind of pending legislation to start charging hotel bed taxes on Airbnb people. You know, and we've got homeowners associations that are trying to pass legislation to keep you from renting your property. I mean, it's just, it's insanity that, you know, what's kind of going on here. And it's like, wait a minute. We used to be the state of freedom. Why are we doing this? Why are we gobbling up margins?
It sounds like they're doing it to Airbnb from my client's perspective, what they tell me. They're not affected as much as the executives for Airbnb. And as far as locally, I think the only thing that inhibits that or throws a wrench into things, so to speak, are the rules and regulations built around the local municipalities, like even an HOA. HOAs are the biggest killer of Airbnb because it's got to be all or nothing. You have to at least allow people to just rent all the time and create that theme, or you have to be strict and have, you know, cutoffs on years of ownership first, or minimum, you know, lease restrictions, or you have that imbalance of who your actual client is, which, you know, ultimately will destroy a community.
Yeah, well, so and one of my properties is subject to that minimum lease requirement of 1 year, you know, but all rental properties here, at least in Maricopa County, have to pay sales tax on the rent payment here. It's part of our municipalities. And but what they're trying to do is move it instead of just a regular real estate style tax. They're trying to make it like a bed tax, like what hotels would pay and people in the hospitality industry. And that's a big crusher because that's going to start eating away at your margins, and it could affect how you buy your properties as an investor. Maybe you're going to have to put more money down, or you're going to have to figure out some sort of different structure. So before we leave, what are like three like tried and true tips or pieces of advice that you would give any would-be investor who's may or may not be a homeowner now, but is excited about the prospects of investing? What would you give them? A couple of pieces of advice.
I would say don't be blinded by the smoke and mirrors you see online. With so much technology, it's easy to try and do it yourself, but the real deals are found through the network. So align yourself with a local professional, title company, local lender, even a realtor, and just while I'm on the go, while I am, you know, as I go, I'm meeting people with problems, distress problems. I remember taking a listing one time, finding out that person had another estate from the deceased ex-husband that was entitlement to the children, and we got another listing. So, you know, once something, you probably know this, once something is online or on the MLS, it's already too much, too expensive. And you make your money when you buy, when you invest, not when you sell. So the best way to get the best deals in a market where everybody's looking and expecting it, even though we're technically at the top of the market, you want to stay in the know locally with a professional that does it all the time.
Well, and I'm excited that you said that too, because, you know, money is always made on the buy, whether it's in the stock market or the real estate market, or just, you know, by people buying and negotiating all kinds of things, aftermarket stuff. You know, I could think of people that, you know, buy and sell cars for a living. You know, money is always made on the buy. And if you don't know what you're doing, you want the advice of a seasoned professional and not somebody that just calls themselves a realtor that's a member of the National Association. You know, you want to look at what their past track record is, what types of properties they specialize in, and listen to the advice that they're giving. And if it's in line with some of the stuff that you've read, if you've been educating yourself about real estate investment, I think that it's critical that you hear some of the same things from people, because then that kind of makes you think, okay, this might be a rule of thumb for investing, and this person is aligned with that. And that's what excites me about our conversation today, is because I've been, you know, at this real estate investment game personally for 25 years. And I was doing fix and flips when there were 125% mortgages back in the 90s. So, yeah, so I'm excited that that you get it, and that you are helping folks in Florida achieve their dreams of financial freedom using real estate as their investment tool. If folks want to get your book, find out more about you, or consult you directly for some specific real estate advice, how do they get a hold of you, Robert?
Well, I'm almost like a secret agent, even though I'm a real estate agent. I'm a people person first. I give value first. So you won't kind of see me everywhere. And I don't even have any real fancy websites. In fact, I'm not 100% sure my book one's totally live. We're still making it a little bit perfect. But to answer your question more specifically, goodtalknation.com is one website. Good Talk Nation, just like you would spell it. EZ Florida Home Search, Echo Zebra, FloridaHomeSearch.com is my real estate website to get property evaluations local here in Florida or look for properties. But if you YouTube me, Facebook me, Google me, Robert Pellini, you'll see more than you even bargained for.
Thank you so much for being a part of today's show. And for those of you without a pencil, never fear, unlockyourwealthtoday.com is here, where you can visit Robert's show page, get the links to all of his resources, and so much more. For the maestro of moolah, Michael Terry, I'm Heather Wagenhals. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthToday.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2018 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.unlockyourwealthtoday.com.